The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Darby!
Woo! Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy! You got payback coming!
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Boy, this is going to be a big, big show. Big news coming out of Yahoo, I guess, with the audio tape given to Mike Silver of Greg Williams. We're going to be talking about that today. And if you follow us on Twitter or Andy on Twitter or Patriots.com, you know that Adam Schefter from ESPN, NFL insider extraordinaire, will be joining us a little bit later, 12:15 or so. And he's, of course, on top of this thing at Gillette Stadium for a special season ticket holder event tonight. But just so happens we'll have him on a day when all this news breaks. And you got to love it because we're not talking baseball. So that's all I care about. But Andy's here. Paul's here. Eric is still on holiday. Kevin and Matt are in the booth. What? What, Andy?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I have a joke that I can't say.
Oh, okay.
I know my limits.
Good.
This one is beyond the limit.
All right.
Imagine what that must have been.
I can only, and I try not to. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Can I play the role of Apollo Creed?
Sure.
Ding.
Ding, ding.
Ding.
Because Andy thinks that this whole audio is no big deal.
Well, first of all, I think the Saints were set up like bleeps. It's not an accident this comes out the day of their appeals. Second of all, I was very interested talking to somebody in the documentary and the film industry thinks this guy is an abomination. And the guy who gave up the footage should never work
again. I agree with
that.
You're there for one purpose. And
right.
Really, I'm surprised that the Saints didn't have him sign a confidentiality agreement, which is something we would do here anytime someone's producing content here, whether it's us, we had to sign one, or someone from the outside. Whatever you learn, see, hear.
But I just
while
found it interesting
here,
that somebody in that line of work thought he is scum. Scum.
Yeah.
For what he did.
Yeah.
In terms of letting this out there. Beyond that, no big deal.
Yeah, I actually
have to give Greg Williams credit because my favorite line is outside ACL he wants them targeting. So this bounty was so specific that if Frank Gore's running left, I want you getting the left ACL so he can't cut back. If he's running right, I want the right ACL.
Well,
give him credit. Detail-oriented Greg Williams.
I agree with your part about the filmmaker. I just think you just can't do that. You have a trust thing that and I think he violated that. But
and could hurt others now.
But
I mean, who else is going to let people come in and do these documentaries now? I can't trust you.
Right, but it's out there now. And now let's focus on exactly what Greg Williams said. I think it's ridiculous. I think that I don't care what you say about the NFL being a violent sport. I agree with all that, and that's part of the nature of the sport. But when you start telling people and rewarding them for going after ACLs, for testing concussions, I got a problem with that. And if that makes me, and I'll say it, a pussy, then I'm a pussy. Okay? I have a problem with that.
I don't think it makes you
save
that
tape.
Word.
Yeah.
I don't think it makes you that word, Freddie.
He doesn't. No? Not the if part, just the IMA.
Yeah. I look,
we've been in locker rooms when the coaches hit them hard, make sure they know that you're there, you know, send them a message, all that, you know, stuff that,
addiction,
you know, that symbolizes all that. That's fine. And a lot of what Greg Williams said was just that.
I think it all was.
Yeah, the whole thing, not when you, when you mention a guy's ACL, Paul.
I don't think he, well, I'll let you mean what? I'll let you guys go at it.
I mean.
I don't care enough about this.
I think 90% of it was the typical rah-rah speech on the defensive side of the ball. You know, like I was telling Andy, you know.
Taken literally, you're absolutely
yeah,
right.
Yeah, control the head, control the body.
Right.
That's what they taught us in wrestling.
And that was his theme of that whole 3 minute, whatever it was.
A lot of it was make the guy think. Less, you know, but there was
doubt. He actually said, you know, if you have doubt in your mind, you don't have time to.
Right,
what do you say about Kyle Williams? Make him decide.
Mm-hmm.
Make him decide what he wants.
No problem with that.
Well, you do, because that's the concussion.
Well, but it, when we specifically mentions the ACL and rubbing his fingers together, because that's where the bounty comes
in. Well, the bounty thing is, I mean, that's what they're in trouble for.
But it's no work. I mean, you learned nothing that you didn't know.
No, I'm sorry.
They had a bounty system
in
place.
Have one of your coaches ever said, go after a guy's ACL?
No.
Okay.
I think that's a little
different.
Much.
That's
voicing
crossing the line.
Specific ACL is
yes.
a little.
I've had guys, well, never mind. Never mind.
Well, you went to Everett, so that's different. But
I wasn't even in high school.
Yeah, you might want to stay out of that.
It's at the line at Toys R Us. No.
Oh, it was coaches, but it wasn't.
No, I know.
It wasn't even high school.
Do we really need to go down that road?
No, that's why I stopped.
Good.
No need to defame somebody.
And
so I just think he crossed the line. I this guy, Greg Williams, I got a feeling he's not just like that. I think he's just a mean old cuss.
Oh, I'm not so sure. I think it's the opposite of that.
Really?
I think it's a character he plays because he's one of those guys that he's not Pepper Johnson. He doesn't have a resume to fall back on. He's not this big, tough dude. I think he's building a tough guy persona to get the respect of his players and building this whole environment of chaos.
So you think at the family gathering at Thanksgiving,
there's
Mr. Nice Guy?
You call him Mrs. Who?
Mrs. Beasley.
I think there's a chance he's very quiet, feminine, whatever you think he is.
Feminine.
Well, you think he's a
I
woman.
He looks like an old lady.
Right. Yeah. I think there's a chance he's that.
So why you laugh at him for
this
calling
is a
him
character.
A woman?
Well, I don't know.
Right. He can call him a woman, but I say he's feminine, and that's somehow different.
Well,
but
what he looks like is not
I
how
think
he
this
acts.
Is his character. I think this is what he has created. Much like he's creating something with his defenses and all about it. He's orchestrating an attack.
Yeah.
And I really thought nothing. I thought the big deal being made out of this by talk radio and TV is just a joke.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a joke. And I think, you know, I've heard, well, you know, it wasn't the Saints that were hitting hard. It was the 49ers. That has nothing to do with it. The fact that the Saints couldn't carry it out has nothing to do with what he wanted them to do.
Well, let me ask you know? Can I ask you a question here? Do you think if this, let's just say, because we started off by talking about the documentary guy. And, you know, so this is a possibility that we could have heard this pregame speech
from
somebody
ago.
Else. Okay. So let's just say we heard all the same things that we just heard, but there was no bounty scandal. We knew nothing about any bounty scandal with New Orleans, but some documentarian, or as, you know, our former guy, documentarian, just went in there and got this raw audio for us, and everybody starts to. Geez, wow, it seems like he's really telling them to go out and hurt people. Do you think it would have been a big deal?
Yes.
I think the ACL would have been.
Not
saying
as
the word
big,
ACL, nothing else would have.
Yeah.
Nothing else. I think they would have said Greg Williams does a great pregame speech. He gets his guys fired up.
I think all of this, to me, is all because we know that they were paying guys to get guys out of the game.
Right.
And I think this very easily could have gone, maybe not scot-free. People might have looked at it and said, the ACL or the head. To me, the head. Andy got really into the ACL. The amount of times he said the head, touch the head, hit the head, get the head, that's what stood out to me. But I think if it weren't for this bounty scandal, I don't think this would be anywhere near as big a deal.
It wouldn't be as big, no. But I think it'd still be significant. And I think,
I don't.
Again, I go back to, we never want to see other guys get hurt. Well, your coach is now telling you to hurt them.
I still think it's a figure.
To go after an ACL.
Hurt or injured.
What?
Hurt or injured.
Okay.
There's a difference. There is a difference.
Okay, when you go after an ACL, that's at least a season-ending
injury.
So
if he had just said, I want you to test Frank Gore's knee, I want to find out, just like they're testing the guy.
I have the same problem with it.
Yeah, I don't.
I
I think
it's why Bill Belichick doesn't want anybody to know injuries, because for the lifetime of football, an injury is a weakness, and this game is built on strengths and weaknesses. Competition, tough guy, not tough guy.
Right.
And that is what Greg Williams is guilty of. He's pulled down the veil that all you, the P word you like to use, thought that this game was just, you know, popcorn and candy and these big hits. They all get up and they all go home. And on Monday morning, they feel great when they pick their kids up. You know what the reality is?
No. See,
these guys don't live normal lives.
See, you're
these
wrong.
Guys are injured after their career.
Yeah, but you're just flat out wrong.
No, actually, I'm not.
The pussies like me, okay? And I'll take, you know, if this is what it means
no
for me to be, I will take that moniker. If I don't think that these hits don't hurt, and I don't think they get up, and I don't think it doesn't affect their lives after football. But I think there is a line from this is part of the sport to go after his knee, hit him in the head. I think there's a difference.
See, I don't.
But I think that you think there's a difference in this locker room than the other locker rooms, and I don't.
And you know what?
Now, are you saying Spear is knee? Because I'm not saying Spear is knee. I'm not saying I want you to ignore everything else. I just want you launching yourself into his knee every time you see him.
I don't
think that's what Greg Williams means.
But
that's,
I do.
Well, see, that's where I separate. I think this New Orleans thing is despicable. I think Andy does too. And I don't want to make it sound like we're endorsing this crap, because this pay for bounty stuff is just horrible. It's horrible. I mean, I'm not defending it, but I still think that this talk is just what it is. It's talk. It's figurative. And I think we're taking it so super literal because we know there's a bounty system in place.
I think it crossed the line of being figurative.
I don't think guys went out there and tried to give concussions. I don't think that happened. I don't.
Well,
I don't
again.
I think they tried to knock him out of the game, which I think every coach on every level tells the other team.
I think that your goal can be every game to knock the quarterback out without necessarily taking a cheap shot at him.
Right.
I'm trying to run right through that quarterback, and we need to get him out of the game.
In my opinion, if they were doing what you said, Paul, then they weren't doing what Greg Williams was asking them to do.
Well, see, I think you're taking him literally, and I'm not.
You really are.
I don't know. When you use the word ACL, that's pretty damn literal.
But that's the
that's
one.
That's why I asked you, would you feel the same way if he just said, test his knee?
Yes.
When you mentioned, that's why I asked you, but you just said you have a problem with the word
knee,
ACL.
That's pretty literal.
See,
when you say, make him think about it, give him a message, knock him on his ass.
And I'm going to go back
to something.
But
it's no different than if Rex Ryan says, make Tom Brady wonder if that front shoulder is hurt today. Make him wonder if he should be out there taking hits on
that
front shoulder.
I want to go back to something Andy said, because I found it very interesting. Why do you think Belichick is so secretive of his injuries?
Absolutely, because guys target injuries.
So then wouldn't you interpret that is a very common thing? It doesn't have to be a cheap shot.
And it doesn't have to be paid.
And you don't have to get paid for it.
It doesn't have to be any money changing hands.
Right.
That's why I think the difference between New Orleans and every other team is payment.
Yeah.
That's all.
And it's a big difference.
I don't know.
It's a big that's why they're getting suspended, but, and they deserve to get suspended.
It's a big difference in terms of the rules. It's a minor difference in terms of I think Andre Carter, the example we've used, we think he's a good guy. We're not sure whether he would be voluntarily taking part of this or just kind of going with the flow. But I think on every play, until the whistle blows, he's trying to knock the quarterback out of the game.
Okay.
And then he'll pick him up. He'll feel bad, but he's trying to do his job.
And that's fine. And maybe I'm wrong.
And New Orleans Fred, you're right. New Orleans took it to a new length and too far. And that's why they're getting dealt with. They should be suspended.
Maybe I'm wrong. Short of the bounty system, maybe 80% of the defensive coordinators are saying, mentioning knees and concussions. Maybe they are, okay? And maybe it's always been that way. And again, if that's true, I want it stopped. I don't want that anymore. Maybe it's always been that way.
But you can stop the talk. You can't stop the action.
And if you stop the action, then you stop the league.
I think that's Andy's point. This is what the game is.
I don't think it stops the vicious hits if you stop guys saying, you know what? It's cool to go after a guy's knee. It's cool to go after his head. I don't think it stops the physical nature of football. And maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I feel. And if that makes me a pussy, I'm a pussy.
Well, it also makes you don't really like football. You don't really like the physical competitive nature.
No.
Gladiatorial.
I see plenty of vicious hits that aren't targeting heads or knees.
How do you know? Well, maybe they missed.
Did you say whatever?
But did you see a lot of instances where they were doing that?
And I also didn't.
No. That's my point. You can have a good physical game without doing that.
I need to hear it again, because I don't know when he said target the head. He said test his concussion.
Well, he also said hit the head, touch the head.
Touch the head.
But that was part of his figurative speech.
It might be
that's how I took everything.
The concussion guy, I didn't think he actually said test hit his head. He said test the concussion, meaning test whether he should be on the field today, whether he's thinking,
yeah,
ooh, do I not feel
and
right?
That's why I didn't focus as that as much as the ACL. The ACL was very, very specific.
It's a glaring
yeah.
choice of words, but that's why I wanted to know. To me, I don't know that he meant spear and ACL. I think he means test the weak point of every player. It may be Tom Brady's left shoulder. It may be Smith's heart. I mean, they were clearly questioning Alex Smith's heart.
Sure.
His eyes being big after we hit him in the preseason.
This is going to be funny. You're probably laughing, but the accusation that I think is the funniest or the most damning to them is just about how scummy they are, is what they did to him in the preseason. What they did, I mean, San Francisco, they got Jim Harbaugh comes in. He's a brand new coach. It was either their first or second preseason game. I heard some guy talking about this. I don't know all these facts to be accurate. I'm taking something I heard on the radio is to be fact, and that sometimes that can be dangerous. Just look what we do. But he was saying how they just blitzed him mercilessly. That Jim Harbaugh didn't even have his offense in yet. You know, we all remember what happened coming out of the lockout with the team, the new coaches. They had no time to prepare. They were playing a preseason game a couple of weeks after they got together, and they were just mercilessly blitzing them. And that's when Williams made that comment that Andy just said about Alex Smith's eyes got really big, and, you know, well, geez, they didn't even have a blocking scheme set up yet. Yeah. How are they going to stop you? I mean, that's not being a tough guy. And the one part, you know, it's funny, all the different things that were said, the one thing that I had the most problem with is when he said, in order to be respected, you need to be feared, something along those lines. That's a bunch of crap. You go out and play the game the right way, and they respect you.
Right.
You don't have to do that crap. So I get your point, Freddie. I don't think you keep coming down on yourself. I don't, you know, with that word. I don't think you need to do that.
Well, obviously, I don't think I am. But if you want to call me that,
but
I'm happy to be called.
I don't think anybody that thinks that this stuff is wrong is that word.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. I think Andy and I think that everybody's taking it super literally, and I think we're in agreement that.
No, I think
this
like
is something that's not all that uncommon.
Now, as far as the penalties, I think I agree with Andy. There's no coincidence that this came out today,
right,
on the day that he's ruling. I think that this he probably had, you know, now it was given to Mike Silver, but maybe Goodell said, give it to Mike Silver on this day. Maybe Goodell already knew about it. The league did not comment on whether or not they knew about this prior.
I don't like the sounds of that.
No, I think that this...
It is interesting that they said they had no comment. Why wouldn't you just say yes? Or no.
Or no.
What do you have to have no comment for?
I think
no
that,
comment
I think
to me.
Goodell better get his fire going and burn some more tapes.
No comment to me indicates, I want to say that we didn't know of this, but I want to make sure we can't get caught in that lie.
Now, I think...
That's what no comment tells me.
I think that this evidence and evidence like this is why Goodell came so down so hard and so swiftly and so surely.
But this is more evidence than he had, you think?
No, I think it's part of it.
How many tens of thousands of documents?
Well, I think
do they
it's
have?
A accumulation of all this stuff.
No, but I mean, what he found out today is the reason Sean Payton has been suspended for a year. Well, I don't think he found out anything today that should change his.
No, but there's one thing though. If you read Silver's column, not just listen to the tape. If you read a column,
we lost everything.
What happened?
We're down.
All right, we're back.
Fred had some good stuff in that little 15-second rant.
Best. If you read Mike Silver's column that also had the quotes from the documentarian, he said that now I lost my train of thought. He said that Greg Williams, you know, because he was there not just for this game. He was there for most of the season. Right. He said that Greg Williams would go around saying that he had an FU contract, that he could do whatever he wanted for this defense. It was his defense. No one told him what to do. No one questioned, which aids, I think, Peyton a little bit if he's saying, look, I didn't know. You know, it doesn't take away any of the guilt from he should have known. But I think that quote does change things slightly. And as I speak, we're joined by Adam Schefter, NFL insider extraordinaire for ESPN. Adam, welcome to the show.
What's going on there, gentlemen? Nice to be in Foxborough.
Nothing going on at all. It's a very quiet off season. I'm enjoying the time off.
Yeah, right. It's been unbelievable. It's been an incredible off
season. Do you ever sleep?
I do sleep. I know people on Twitter, they're writing all the time, you know, do you sleep? Yeah, I sleep a few hours. I do.
But are you one of those guys that only needs three or four?
Yeah, I don't sleep much.
You and Bobby V?
I don't know what he sleeps in. I'm not like John Gruden getting up at 3:17, but I don't sleep. You know, I sleep a little bit more than that, but not a whole lot.
So Adam, I know you're here because ESPN's doing an event tonight for Patriots season ticket holders on the draft, but
yep.
It just so happens today all this news breaks with the audio tape of Greg Williams. I have a question for you before we get into the you know that whole thing in specific. Is there a faction now of players, of some that are down with what Goodell is doing and another half that are against what Goodell's doing? Do you sense that among the players at all?
I think that's probably a fair characterization because there's certainly people who are opposed to it.
Yeah.
There are people who are not fans of Roger Goodell, players who have come out and spoken and you've heard them. And I think that there are some who say, okay, yeah, we're for him improving the safety of the game and doing what he has to. I think a lot of it depends, like in this particular case, if you're a fan of the Saints organization, you play for the Saints organization, you have any connection, you hate Roger Goodell right now.
Right.
Okay? Just like if you're a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers with some of the things that they've been through, you don't like Roger Goodell. And I think there are other teams who feel like he is taking steps to ensure the safety of the game and probably are down with Roger Goodell.
Right. And I just wonder if that's causing any friction within teams.
I don't know about that. I don't think that's the case. I don't think the feelings are strong enough one way or another that people would be arguing over whether they like or dislike Roger Goodell. I don't see that being the case.
Right. Adam, do you think one of the major results of the whole Bountygate thing and Greg Williams is that maybe some fans' eyes have been open to the brutality of the NFL? And
well,
the fact
if they didn't see the brutality of it, then their eyes weren't open at all.
But do you think there are some that are realizing, wow, this really opened their eyes to long-term ramifications in terms of players who limp forever, who have mental issues forever?
No, I don't think that. I think that the biggest thing that this is doing, I think what the league is trying to accomplish, first and foremost, there are a number of lawsuits against the league, and I think the league is trying to protect itself legally. But beyond that, I think it's a situation here where the league is really doing what it can to make what is an unsafe game as safe as it possibly can. There's not a lot you can do to make this sport, where the men are so big and so strong and so fast, safe. But if they can do what they can to take steps to change and alter the culture, and that culture filters down from the top down to college, down to high school, down to Pop Warner, Pee Wee levels, then the league believes that what it's doing is a success. It wants to make it such that it's not heroic to come back in and play with a concussion. It's not good to target somebody's head. It's not good to issue bounties to hurt players. It's not good if you're hitting quarterbacks below the knee and above the shoulders. They want to change the strike zone. They want to change the target area. They want to change the thinking. They want to change the culture. They want to bring a little bit more safety to a sport that is inherently unsafe.
Along those lines, just a quick follow-up. I read a story actually on Grantland, kind of an extension of ESPN, and it posed the possibility that generationally, three
yep.
generations from now, there could be no NFL because of these lawsuits, because of Pop Warner. Some parents decide, that's not a sport I want my kids getting into, and down the road, the feeder system, the college don't have the players. Are there any owners, first of all, and do you think there's any chance that there's a fear within the league that could transpire in four
years? Well, you've heard people come out. Troy Aikman talked about this being a real danger to the NFL, right? So
yeah.
I don't know when that happens and when that takes hold and whether the league could be absolved or dissolved. That's hard for me to imagine with the sport being as popular as it is today. I will just say that, you know, back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, baseball was our national pastime and the most popular sport. And in my mind, there's no doubt that football has supplanted that. I think that's pretty obvious to everybody who is a sports fan. So the one thing that we've seen is nobody stays on top forever. Now, does that mean the end of the sport, the ruination of it? Boy, that's hard to imagine. Mm-hmm. But clearly, I think there'll be changes over time, and the sport will be affected. And I don't know whether that means that it ceases to operate or it suffers in popularity or what the long-term effects are. But I believe that these things are going to have to be addressed, and they will take and have a certain effect on the league itself.
What are your feelings on what Goodell knew about this particular tape or this audio that we got today before? And I apologize if you already had this on your reports.
No, that's okay. My guess is they probably were aware of it. I mean, they had all this evidence. I'm sure that this is not the first time they've heard that. And in fact, the league in its release on March 21st went out of its way to point out that they warned, Tom Benson warned Mickey Loomis to go to Sean Payton and to Greg Williams to stop any bounty program that existed. It didn't happen. Now, I spoke to somebody a short time ago who said that Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis gave directives to Greg Williams and that he failed to act in an appropriate manner. Now,
right.
So everybody's got their little version of events here.
Yeah. Sure.
Right.
You decide what's real.
One other thing on this, and then I want to ask you about a certain team down the road who signed a certain player a couple weeks ago. But
Fred.
You know, you mentioned safety. You mentioned lawsuits as one of the reasons why Goodell's cracking down so hard. One of the things I think that we don't talk about, but I think is part of it, is gambling. I think if you know that there's a guy like Greg Williams on a team who will accept money from the outside to put in a bounty pool, that's a way for you to influence a game. And once gamblers know that, it opens up a window into a team. Have you heard any talk about that?
No, I've never heard any talk like that. I've never thought about it. I've never.
So I'm just wrong.
No, I mean,
thank you very much, Adam.
No, it's
very helpful.
I think it makes sense.
Like maybe you gamble. I don't gamble, so I don't know that world. I don't know how that world operates. Yeah. I don't know how it thinks.
Yeah.
So I could tell you that from the league standpoint, the league is concerned about this becoming a competitive advantage, a salary cap violation. There are tax ramifications.
Right.
I mean, there's all sorts of financial ripple. Gambling is not one of the ripple effects that
they never
thought about.
The league will never mention that.
But aside from that, I honestly didn't even follow that. I mean, I don't know how gamblers pursue, and I don't think that Greg Williams is open to having money.
Well,
that's quite Ornstein.
He took money from an outsider in Ornstein.
Yeah. Well, we argued with him on this. You're not going to. He's got a little bee in his bum.
I always think you follow the money. It always in the NFL.
I mean, New Orleans' incentive to get rid of the other team's quarterback, despite this bounty program, isn't any greater than any other team.
So there's
no gambling edge to be had. I mean, everybody wants to get Peyton Manning to move, Tom Brady to move. They don't want to let them stand there and pick them apart. Their goal is to hit them as often as they can. Now, New Orleans paid to do it. I don't think their incentive is any greater. Now, salary cap things and stuff like that, tax ramifications, sure. I think all that followed the money there, Freddie.
It's a competitive advantage. It's it compromises the integrity of the game.
Sure.
There are other issues aside from the gambling one.
All right.
Get to your Jets questions, Freddie.
Yeah. Tebow time.
Okay, I know you got to go, but let me ask you a question. What are your thoughts on the Jets signing Tebow? And really, I mean, do you really think the Jets can effectively use this guy? We've heard everything from 5 to 20 plays a game. If you're going to sign the guy, you're going to use him in some way. What do you think?
You know,
my
feeling on that is a couple of things. Number one, I think that they feel like they're the New York Jets. They've been exposed to everything that the New York media creates, and they've had Brett Favre, so they know what it's like to have a quarterback circus. I believe that Tim Tebow is unlike any other player, and we're living in a day and age when popularity and focus on a guy is more heightened than ever. And I believe, if it's possible, that they underestimated what Tim Tebow brings. Now, there are elements that he brings. Patriots saw last year how many problems he could present in the regular season. And I think in that element, he can really help the Jets. But I think there are definitely going to be issues between he and Sanchez.
Yeah.
And the New York tabloids and the New York media is going to have a field day with that. And if the Jets can prevent that from overrunning their football team and becoming a main issue, then the move could work out. But there's a lot that goes along with it that they're going to have to babysit and harness.
Yeah. All right, Adam, we know you have to run. Good luck tonight with the big draft event here at Gillette
Stadium.
Appreciate
it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks for stopping in. Adam Schefter,
ESPN.
NFL insider extraordinaire. We're going to take
another insider who told you your ideas are a little wacky.
He
didn't text and tweet the whole time he was on with us.
Listen to me. They never mention the word, but it's always a factor, I'm telling you. All right, we'll be right back.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a Turbo Shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long. I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Want to thank Adam Schefter from ESPN for stopping in. He's in town today at Gillette Stadium, so we put him through our car wash. So if when you see the reports on ESPN today of Adam Schefter, he is down in the Kraft Sports Production Studios. That's pretty cool.
The same studio that Andy and I warmed up for him.
That's right.
Shooting something for Patriots today.
There you go.
And had to be done by a certain time to make sure
Adam Schefter was coming in.
Wow. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Emailer writes, and I have a question. What player do you think had the most bounties put on them during the past 10 years? Brady, Manning, Favre, Breeze, or Tim in Baltimore? Oh, no, Tim in Baltimore is who wrote it. So Brady, Manning, Favre, or Breeze? Who had the most
Brady,
bounties?
Manning, Favre, or Breeze?
I'd say Favre.
Probably Favre.
Because he runs around so much. You want to.
And I'm sure people kind of don't like him.
Yeah.
I think there's a distaste for him. Hey, there he is on a Wrangler commercial.
Let's see. Josh writes in. He says, Fred is not a pussy. He says, I don't agree with Paul. Even if we did not know about the bounty scandal, I believe certain segments of that speech crossed the line and then some. If you listen to that standing alone
The ACL and concussion directives are still disturbing and stomach-churning, especially as a football fan who does not want to see his own players getting injured. As for Andy's take, football fans see gruesome injuries every week. Seeing that guy on the Cardinals break his femur was very disturbing. It was a whole lot less disturbing seeing that it was a freak accident than it would have been if you knew a guy was getting a payoff.
How do you know it was a freak accident?
How do you know he didn't get a payoff?
Right.
Well, if you knew it, you don't know that. But he's saying if you did know it,
my point
it
is,
would be more disturbing.
My point is unless someone can prove to me that someone did that on purpose, I never think any of the injuries are intentionally done.
Now you know they do.
No, unless you can prove that a guy went out there and took the money and purposely hurt somebody. I'm sorry, I can't make that leap.
We know these guys take a beating. We know it's not a normal life. To say that we don't have any idea what really goes on is just BS. It is in front of our faces every Sunday, and it is the intent to injure that is disturbing. Andy is a bit naive to think test the concussion means something other than hit him hard in the head.
Oh, I don't think that's what he meant. So, yes, I guess I'm the one being naive. I think he meant knock him around and see if he wanted to be on the field today. And I also believe it's not Greg Williams' job to make sure the guy's healthy. That's the job of the medical staff who's putting him out on the field. If he's out on the field, he's healthy. I think Greg Williams is trying to put doubt in his mind. Just like, you know, the safety who hits the receivers, make them wonder if they want to cross the middle again. I think it's the same thing. It's intimidation.
Well,
the sport is built on intimidation.
We have heard players in the past say, you know, hey, this is normal. You know, I've heard this before. It would be interesting with immunity if coaches came out and said, look, this is how it is. This is how it's been. Okay, we understand things are going to change, but in Greg Williams' defense, he hasn't done anything different than all of us.
And how would
done.
That make you feel?
The same way. I still want it changed.
I agree.
I still want it changed.
Because I think it's the culture that needs to change. But I think you'd
well, right
be,
now,
I think you'd
Greg
be disappointed,
Williams is
Fred.
Like Satan. You know,
right.
So, you
well,
know.
But he should be, because I think he takes it too far. And
but maybe he didn't. Maybe they all do that.
Okay,
and that's not
okay.
saying it's right. But you
okay.
know.
I think the question you asked, Adam, that I thought elicited an interesting response was
the
one
money?
About
gambling.
No, the one about all the players' reaction. And I thought Adam told you basically your hypothetical is probably closer to being true than you think when he has had a significant amount of players that have said, they don't think this is right that they're getting punished this much. And, you know, other players are saying, yeah, it is the right thing to do. Well, to me, it seems to be such a black and white issue of right and wrong that it would be 100% would say,
well,
this is wrong. They need to take this out of the game. But it's not.
No, that gets into the culture thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's if you're
mostly
trying to change the culture, there are some people that will be eyes open to it and others who will just dig their heels in and this is the way it is.
If you look at it as
I'm a little bit on that side.
No, but if you look at it as
really
if you look at it as, you know, a reasonable person sort of detached
I'm out.
Detached from football.
Right.
Okay? So let's take our football part of you know, all the NFL games that we've watched and take that out and just say it's a matter of right and wrong. And I think 100% universally this is wrong. You're paying guys ostensibly to go out and hurt somebody on purpose. I'm trying to hurt you. It's not enough that I'm going to beat you.
Right.
I need to hurt you.
Right.
I mean, who, you know, that's to me, it should be 100% universal wrong.
Right.
To me, it's interesting that it wasn't 100% universal
right.
among the players.
Right.
Yeah, but they're not looking at it rationally.
They're not
they're
detached.
In it.
Exactly.
They're in it.
And there's the culture that
I mean, they're
that
in
that
the
I
James Harrison. This is how I pay my family and blah, blah, blah. Crazy mo. I mean, Brandon Merriweather. There's no doubt in my mind he was trying to take Todd Heap out of the game when he got called for that hit, right?
Right.
But he, from what I know, he wasn't being paid to do it, and there may not even be any implication other than
that's my whole
his
point
mentality
about the difference.
Is Todd Heap is a key player on their team. I'm trying to take him out of the game.
Do
right?
you think? Do you think the Patriots coaching staff maybe had some conversation about let's make this guy? This is what makes this offense go. Let's make this guy pay for every catch that he makes over
right.
the middle.
Fred doesn't like that.
But
I think
what
you
makes
can
it,
do that
what
without
makes
targeting
it,
his head.
Well, you
yes,
can,
you
no,
can.
You can do it without paying a guy.
True, that too.
But
that's,
you can also do it without targeting his head.
That's the indiscretion. Well, absolutely.
But, I mean, Ray Lewis can put a shoulder in his chest and take him out of the game just as easily as a head hit from Brandon Merriweather. Right? I mean, there's certain ways. It's harder. It's harder to do clean. There's no doubt about that. It's, you know, Stephen Gregory. We met him in the hallway, and he's a tiny guy. It's hard for him to say, I'm going to take Rob Gronkowski out of this game by putting a shoulder right on his number. Probably not going to happen. You're 135 pounds. He's 260. you could take his knee out, or you could hit him in the head and take him out that way. So is that the route you want to go?
That's just an interesting one.
Well, for a guy that size, that's the route you have to go.
Exactly.
Right. But we got to change that. How?
But James Harrison's hit on Decker in the playoff game.
Yeah.
Clean as can be.
Yeah.
Right on the knee. What if you found out that it was a bounty on the guys and they said the word ACL in a meeting before that? Does that change the way it is?
Not for me.
But it probably would for Fred.
It would, sure.
Or the same question for Kevin Falk.
Yeah.
They took his knee out. It happens all the time. Guys get hit in the knee 1,000
sure.
times a
well,
game.
That's what I'm saying.
1,001 puts them on the operating table.
That's why I'm saying it's dangerous to say 1 + 1 = 2 in this case. We're paying to get guys out of the game, and they're cheap shots. And they're intentional cheap shots on the field. It doesn't necessarily all add up. I think you can get a guy out of the game with a hard hit that you get paid for, and it's wrong. But it doesn't have to be a cheap shot.
Now, where
is my point.
Where I go down the road and I don't like the slippery slope is what Adam was talking about. You know, you can hit the guy, but not in the knee, but not above the, you know, in the strike zone,
quote-unquote. Right.
Well, now I feel like you've changed the game towards the quarterback and the offense. You've now taken outside linebackers and defensive ends and said, you can't do the job the same way. Now, I admit, again, I'm digging my heels in. I like the game where Lawrence Taylor comes off the edge, and he's a force, and the guy in the quarterback is a force, and let's see who wins and how this plays out. You've taken that out of the game, and that's happened in history. I mean, you know, they move the pitcher's mound. There's major changes over the course of sports that we get used to, and maybe in 10 years I'll get used to it, but I don't like it right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. I'm somewhere in the middle of you guys. I mean, I understand Fred's
points. I want
points.
The goalpost back on the damn goal.
Yeah, I mean, Andy,
my
you know,
favorite player.
Andy would take face masks away and put the goalpost. Matter of fact, Andy would add a goalpost for the 50-yard line just to see about their agility.
Yeah.
But I'm somewhere like in the middle of you two guys, and I get the reaction, too. This isn't one I'm, you know, Andy used the term digging his heels in. I'm not digging my heels in this one. It's wrong. I mean, it's kind of hard to say it's not
wrong.
Know,
my favorite players growing up, you know, tended to be the, you know, the Willie Lanier's, the Jack Lamberts, you know, the guys that put the big hits on.
I mean, Jack Lambert would rip your face off if he had an opportunity.
I just love that. But
back then it was like cute and part of the game.
Yeah, being
now it's criminal and violent
but being innocent back then, I didn't think about, oh, he hit him high, you know. I just remember Dick Butkus just burying a guy in his chest. And to me, that was as exciting as, you know, these cheap shots.
Right.
I don't think you need the cheap shots.
Some people don't. Dick Butkus is the greatest linebacker that ever walked the field. Tracy White needs it. What I'm talking. You know, we talk about steroids being a way for guys to keep up. You know, the guy not as good, not as fast. Another way to keep up is, you know, again, Steve Gregory can't take out. We watched him. Remember, we watched him. It was him and Greg Gronkowski.
Yeah.
When he's facing
great
Gronkowski,
coverage.
Physically, if it's just equal playing field, shoulder, he's never going to win that battle ever, ever. He can't physically do it.
No, that's why you have good technique. You wrap him up and wait for help.
What if you wrap him up? They accuse you of intentionally hurting his ankle, like Bernard Pollard.
I don't think Bernard Pollard did that on purpose. And he wasn't flagged and he wasn't fined.
But would you think differently if you found out that there was a bounty to get Gronkowski out of the game?
Not on that play? Because I don't think, you know, it was a play where he had
that's the slippery slope you're at now.
Yeah, no, I know. You're right.
It's a dirty play because you got paid. Well, was it dirty before I got paid?
Right.
I really wish Eric was here. Eric would be yelling at me and you, especially you.
No, he wouldn't say anything. He would just sit there.
That's true.
I'd have to pull his teeth.
I just want to commend Andy, Fred. He knew who Dick Butkus was.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably from that, like, 80s sitcom that he was on. Right. I think you even forget the name of it.
My Two Dads or something? No.
No. He was like a coach or something.
The only reason he knows Dick Butkus is because he liked Urlacher, and Urlacher was the next Butkus.
I mean, you can't watch anything NFL films without seeing Dick Butkus. Yeah. He's a legend in the game.
Yeah, I'm
proud. Not all
I'm
clean,
proud
by the way. Not all his hits.
No.
Plenty of his were clotheslines.
I love the NFL films that calls him Moby Dick in a fishbowl. Because he was just so big.
Oh, okay.
It was almost like the field was too small for him. You know, in other words, he's operating in, you know. You get it. If you put Moby Dick in a fishbowl, it probably wouldn't be enough room for him, Andy.
Bull in a china shop. Same thing. Same analogy.
Okay.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Well, I had no idea what you were talking about.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Ken is in North Carolina. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Hey, Ken, how are you doing?
How are you?
How's everybody up there?
We're doing great.
Hey, I'm just kicking in on this bounty thing.
Yep.
Frankly, and I played both high school and college. I really am all for Goodell on this. I think this bounty thing has really cheapened a sport I love. When I played football, both coaches that I played for said no cheap shots, no hitting guys that are wearing knee braces where you're just hitting that knee. If they're wearing a shoulder brace, you don't.
They specifically
hit them all
said
the
that?
Time up there.
Yeah.
For Jesus.
You don't go for this. And this was for the whole team.
Yeah.
And if he saw any one person doing that, and, you know, you get a star on your helmet if you did great things during the game, interception or, you know, whatever.
What was your record?
Huh?
What was your record? Were you a good team?
What was my record?
Were you a good team or a bad team under these coaches?
We were a good team under both coaches.
Okay.
But I think there's a line there. I mean, if a guy has a shoulder brace, it's kind of hard to say don't hit him in the shoulder.
I'm not talking about the shoulder, but I mean, you know, if a guy has a neck brace on, he's got a neck problem. You don't hit him.
Probably should be.
And not just once. Once, well, not a big deal. But if you are consistently going after whatever is obvious that the man had been hurt.
Yeah.
And we didn't get, you know, he's been hurt in the knee or he's been hurt in the shoulder or neck or something like that as you would in the pros. But if we all look who's wearing what, if we hit those guys consistently, one person on that team, hit one guy consistently on something obvious that had been damaged on that man's body, I'll guarantee you, no matter how good you were, you were going to sit on the bench for a while.
Okay. Well, you know, you. Thanks for the call, Ken. You had a coach who, you know, played by those rules, and you still managed to do well. I mean, as a coach, I wouldn't emphasize it that much.
I think if the guy's on the field, you can hit him anywhere you want to hit him.
I mean, if a guy's got a neck brace, yeah, okay, he had a neck injury, but that's not going to stop me or have me tell my players to ease up at all. You can't. Football is not a game you can play at half speed or even less than 100%. You have to be out there at 100% because you're going to get hurt.
Right.
You know, so.
And that's why I say with Greg Williams, it's not his job to make sure number 10 is ready to play.
Yeah.
But
again, I think there is a culture that can be changed and still preserve the violent nature of football and what a lot of fans love. Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Some crazy stuff, huh?
Hey, you know what I say? As long as we're not talking baseball, I like it.
Me too. I don't care that the season starts today. I care less.
Right.
Screw it.
Whatever. I'm a football guy, no question. Yeah,
screw the Sox. You know, let's talk some football.
That's right. that really was something. Just to hear him, I certainly not naive to think that, you know, that isn't the only locker room that this stuff goes on in, you know, that type of, you know, talking and going after guys that are hurt and whatnot. But like you guys said, the amount of times that he mentioned head, you know, and it going after the Achilles and all that stuff, I mean, it's a sick person in my mind.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the first, but and like I said, maybe all these coaches do it. I still want it changed. I want it stopped.
No question. I actually called EEI this morning and tried to get their opinion on, because I think, Paul, you had mentioned it on the show that Brady came out of that 09 game.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Someone brought that up on the radio, and I heard someone actually call in today and say the same thing. And, of course, the Dennis and Callahan were like, well, he always comes out.
Yeah, that was me. That's what I called.
That was your call? I didn't even recognize your voice.
Cheater.
Yeah, Chris, you're from Boston. Yeah.
I didn't even recognize your voice. I was probably panicking because I was supposed to be here at 10, and I wasn't. But it was funny. It just
he comes out every game.
Yeah, and you know, to compare coming out with a player or two left for Hoyer to come in and kneel down to coming out with, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes left at least in that game. That's apples and oranges. And plus, they don't lose very often, so they're not in a situation where Brady comes out of a game that they've lost.
Right.
Hardly ever.
Right.
And he came out of that one significantly early. I just think
it was the Saints game you're talking about?
Yeah. Christian was talking about the same thing that we brought up on the show a few weeks ago.
Well, I remember thinking that game, he's getting his ass kicked. I'm glad he's out.
Oh, no, it was the right move. I don't think any of us would have said any differently. But, you know, I could count on one hand the amount of times he's come out of the game with significant time on the clock.
Right.
And in that game, he did.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if Bill knew.
I think a lot of teams probably knew.
Yep.
And if Bill is smart as he is, you know, getting every last little detail. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, gets the weather and all that stuff and conditions. I think he definitely knew about it.
Plus, guys change. I mean, Jonathan Sullivan might have told him or whoever.
I was just going to throw a hypothetical out. Rob Ninkovich was in training camp that year with New Orleans.
FYI,
he ended up
Bill.
Being a Patriot that same season.
They put 10 grand on quarterbacks. Might want to get him out.
You know, who knows what Rob may have heard? If anything, I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Christian. Christian, moonlighting a little.
That's cheating. Very unlike me not to have recognized his voice. I apologize 1,000 times, Christian.
I've heard some of our callers.
Absolutely.
In the
too. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Interesting, couple of interesting factoids, some related to the Patriots, some not. Ladarius Webb signed a 6-year, $50 million contract with the Ravens.
About $10
million. Got a $10 million signing bonus.
Yep.
So that's a restricted free agent that some people thought the Patriots should make a run at. Obviously, that's not going to happen. Brett Lockett was not tendered by the Patriots, so he is therefore an unrestricted free agent now. Not really a big deal, but he's a guy that it's been around for a couple of years, can't seem to stay healthy unless he's tweeting or texting back and forth with Kim Kardashian. So looks like he will not be back.
So where does that put the Patriots at that safety position? They're pretty thin there, right? Aren't they going to have to bring
Well, they brought they're thicker than they were last year, deeper than they were. I mean, they brought Gregory in. He's a starting caliber safety, a free safety type that you could say he could start behind Chung.
Okay.
So I think they probably have a little more depth than they had it. I mean, I don't. With Gregory, you're not right at. And what's his name still here? Ahedibo. So
is he?
He hasn't signed anywhere.
Oh, I don't,
he's a free agent though,
he's
right?
A free agent.
I haven't heard his name mentioned.
Right,
once
but
about
he's
visiting
not.
Elsewhere,
yeah,
so.
But I'm not counting him in depth yet because he's not signed.
I
would tend to think
him.
That he'll sign, but I don't. I agree with you. I don't count him in depth.
Right. All right. Food is here, so. We got a lot of emails. We're going to continue to talk about this Bounty Gate. We'll get some Patriots talk in there if you want. And we'll be right back after these words.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of that
really,
game?
It was really, really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
Right, yes,
they do.
But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
I really am. I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No, you got to make it.
But you didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Good show today. Big news coming out of, I guess it's Yahoo Sports and Mike Silver. The audio tape of Greg Williams, pretty damning, but I don't think that it changes anything as far as Goodell's concerned. I think this is all stuff he already knew, or if he didn't know this particular thing, he knew things at least equally damning.
Do you think it makes it worse? I've heard a lot of people say, Greg Williams will never coach in this league again because of this. Like,
no,
this is
what he is suspended
for.
That's
how I
feel.
He may never coach again, but if
right,
so,
but
then
I don't
that
think he was
been,
going to.
Right. This is what exactly he was suspended for. It doesn't change anything. It's just evidence of it. That's all.
Saints evidently really upset that this audio got out there.
Well, the state legislature of Louisiana, believe it or not, is appealing to the NFL about this whole penalty thing. You know, on the basis that it's too harsh and it's going to hurt not just the team but the region. You know.
I like when government crosses over into sports.
Well, that's the problem with the NFL is, you know, they ask for this exclusion from being a monopoly.
Right.
So then you have to kind of listen when, you know, government says stuff.
Right.
You know, so Brooklyn Matt says, boy, talk about role reversal. That caller named Ken was talking about his coaches forbidding cheap shots. Sounds like Ken was the recipient of a few. And Andy, am I getting this right? Paul astutely used the Moby Dick in a fishbowl analogy in regards to Dick Butkus, and you said you had no clue what he was talking about. Andy, Moby Dick is a large whale which would fill up a dang fishbowl.
Like your mother.
Apply that physical juxtaposition to Butkus in Gridiron, and there you go. So,
I get it now. I'd never heard it before.
I hadn't either, but I still understood what he meant.
You're great.
Can we have a fight about this?
I don't understand what's so hard to understand. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Let's go to the phones. Derek at the University of Arizona is on the line. Hey, Derek.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Doing all right.
Yeah? How's good. School?
Doing good. Doing good. Only a couple more weeks left. So.
And that's it? Are you a senior?
No. Oh, okay. I have two more years because I changed my major.
Oh, okay.
That was...
All right.
Sorry for another day, though, Fred.
Yep.
It's all good. Sorry about that email, by the way. I sent it on Tuesday. It was a poorly worded, I guess. Made more sense late at night, but... Andy, I was talking about back at for Everett Brown and Monte Davis, that draft was at 09, and it was just a joke that you were, because you would, you were a big fan of him, and then when the Dolphins, the Dolphins drafted him, you were just joking around and were, best team in the AFC, he's just got better.
I hear you, brother. No worries.
It's all good. But by the way, I saw Robert Turbin's highlight video, and I watched a couple of them, looked at him. I'm a fan. I don't know if you got that tweet I sent to you yesterday, but.
Yeah, I saw that. Welcome aboard to the Turbin bandwagon. It's not a very big one yet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where he's projected to go. I haven't looked too much into him yet. But do you know what about his fumbling numbers? Because guys that run like that usually have higher, more ball security issues.
That's a great question. The Daniel Thomas question.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I don't have the answer to that. I can look that up. I will do a little research. I'll get back to you. Otherwise, the statistics are phenomenal.
Right.
Somebody on this show the other day said, he's injury prone, which I went off on a rant. He missed a year with an ACL injury. That's not durability issues. You missed a year. Other than that, he had 1,300 yards and 1,500 yards between those two.
Right.
Your mic is not on, Fred. It hasn't been on for some damn near 10 minutes.
What? Some damn near 10 minutes?
Seriously, when did you turn into like a grandfather?
I don't know. I'm old school. All right. Go ahead, Derek. Sorry.
No, it's all good. When I started watching the video, I thought he was running a little upright, but then I changed my opinion pretty quickly because he's a big guy and he runs like he's a big guy, but he moves like he's a smaller guy. If that makes any sense.
No, it does. I agree. He's got some burst. He's got some big play potential. I am thoroughly intrigued by him. I'm also thoroughly intrigued by his defensive teammate, the linebacker. We watched him yesterday, and Paul and I go, how come Utah State wasn't better? They got all these guys that look like freaks of nature athletically. Turbin, what's his name, Wagner?
Wagner, yep.
He's big, fast, athletic.
Bobby, I think his first name is.
So using the new draft terminology, high floor, low ceiling for Turbin.
Turbin has a high ceiling and a low floor.
And a low floor.
Oh, we're talking vaulted. I like we're talking a mansion here.
Right, right.
Okay. The conversation you guys had the other day reminded me of Dont'a Hightower is a guy that I was thinking about that. He has a high floor in my mind, but his ceiling might not be as high as a guy like Upshaw, but his floor is much lower.
I can see that.
If I'm picking up on it correctly.
I think you are. I actually have to really listen and think about it when we talk like this, but yes, I think that was accurate. Like Janoris Jenkins, really high ceiling, right. Really low floor. Paul Walker.
Right.
Okay. All right, Derek.
I do.
I mean, that one's true. He's not making
one more. One more thing from Derek.
Okay, so last year, we were talking about getting up to Quinn. And this year, there are a lot of guys who play in that kind of conversion, area, but there's really not I don't really think there's a lot of talent. I think it's kind of overrated. There's really not a whole bunch of guys there, but Courtney Upshaw's a guy that's interesting. But, he's kind of some people say he's too big to play 3-4, but he's too small to play defensive end.
Yep.
Do you see kind of a Cameron Jordan thing with him there? Is that like that kind of same thing? Or is he a guy that you would consider moving up for, or do you think he could be there? Because I've heard a couple guys who actually think he could fall to 27, which I think is ridiculous. But, I mean, I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on him?
Yeah, I think he's Cameron Jordan was like a 3-4 end guy who people wanted to paint as a pass rusher, even though he wasn't really a pass rusher. I think he had more of a defined potential role in the NFL. I think Upshaw is kind of all over the place. And even Saban talked about it, which I find very interesting. He was very open about all his guys at their pro day, talking about what they did for me, what they could be in the NFL. And he was open about his versatility. But he's definitely one of those guys that is either really versatile or doesn't have a position.
All right,
well,
Derek.
Have you heard the Lamar Woodley comparison or not?
I hadn't heard that. But I can kind of see
it. I've heard a couple player comparisons where it's like, okay, Lamar Woodley. And he does kind of seem like he had that build, but he's almost when I watched him at the combine, he looked a little tight. But I don't know. I mean, I still kind of like him. I don't know what it is, but
I would take
him. If Bill Belichick gets the green light from Saban, then maybe you pull the trigger.
That to me is the key is Saban. I would be very much interested in anybody off that defense. They play a pro style, and obviously they're coached with a like-minded guy. With Saban, I would be very much interested in any of those guys. I'm with Andy. I don't know where exactly Upshaw fits, but
yep.
I'd be interested.
All right, Derek from University of Arizona, bringing it with some draft questions. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Great grab this morning by Kevin and Matt to get us Adam Schefter. A lot of names there. I get confused. So if you missed him, the first segment of the show, you definitely want to grab the podcast and listen to that segment. Emailer writes in, wasn't able to write in last show, but I wanted to comment on this whole Saints punishment argument. I agree with Fred that lying about the issue to the NFL rightfully compounded the Saints punishments. I don't believe you can honestly tell me that in any other job, if you were to lie straight to your employer's face, Loomis Payton didn't seem to act very decisively after they were first investigated in 2010, that you wouldn't be susceptible to increased punishment. Hell, in the real world, you'd be straight up fired. No employer tolerates deception, to say nothing of the GM and head coach deceiving the owner, not to mention lying to the NFL investigators and Goodell. That having been said, I think it's unfair to assert that they've only been punished because of lying. This particular NFL administration has been very concerned with player safety, and I don't think it takes a leap of faith to consider the punishments already levied are a combination of both infractions. Additionally, I'm sure you heard the soundbite of the raw audio. Do you think that this could increase the penalties? No, we already said that it doesn't increase the penalties. This is what they're being penalized for.
Now, I don't know if it could have been done without his name being out there, but would you have allowed your name, if you were the documentary guy, to be... His name's everywhere. I mean, on the scroll, yeah. It says, from documentary maker Sean, whatever.
I think he was looking for that.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get what he think he...
Oh, no, I think it's going to go the opposite way. And we talked to some TV guys that think that this could be the end of his documentary career.
You know the whole, as long as they spell your name right, I don't think that applies in this case.
Not when you... When your job requires the trust of the organization that you're doing, you can't do it. You know?
I know people don't like this term, but he's kind of a rat or whatever. He's
right.
Not going to be.
And then the owner says, okay, we're going to let this guy come in. And then the coach knows who he is and says, no. I'm not letting him in my locker room. And now you got an owner coach thing going on. No, this guy, he's not going to be able to do this type of stuff in sports anyway.
I would say not even any. I think it goes beyond sports. He'll have a reputation within the industry of you can't be trusted. There's that trust level's not there for whatever he filmed.
And you can't even fall back on right and wrong. Like, you could say, like, let's just say for argument's sake that no one knew anything about this bounty stuff. And this guy, like, all of a sudden he's pouring through his tapes and he's like, wow, this seems really this is unbelievable. I haven't heard anybody talk about this. And maybe he violates the confidentiality of it. But he's doing it under the auspices of the greater good. Well, this has all been out there.
Right.
All this does is confirm everything that we knew.
He was just looking for a little pub.
Yeah, that's solely the reason why. You can't even give him a pass for being a rat because, well, in doing so, at least he exposed a lot of bad people.
Right.
The bad people were exposed, and the main character of which has been suspended indefinitely.
That's a good point. The fact that he's not a whistleblower.
Mm-mm.
The whistle's been blown, so
he's just trying to cash in.
Right.
I think
he doesn't come under the protection of the whistleblower thing. Robert writes, and do any of you believe that any type of bounty program goes on in college football?
Oh, I do.
I believe it does.
Oh God, yeah.
Maybe not now, but it did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's even more valuable there, especially if it's monetary or monetary.
We're all doing it now
because they have. Theoretically less money. If a college kid gets, big time college football, if you knock out, Alabama, some player, you get $500. That's living money for a month.
But that would be a huge NCAA violation.
Yes.
Almost bigger than what we're seeing here.
Yeah. You're naive if you think that's a not happening. On
well, I, you know, I was thinking more you get an extra piece of pizza after the game. I wasn't thinking money, honestly, about bounty
with
in
all
the
these
college.
Boosters and people outside the program willing to.
Well, that literally could bring down a program if that was found out in the NCAA.
But it won't be found out because they don't want to find it out.
Maybe. Ed writes in, this is the first Patriots draft where most Patriots fans are not excited about potential players we could take in the draft. It seems we all expect Bill to move down and trade the second first-round pick for multiple lower-round picks. Wouldn't it be great if Bill did the exact opposite of what Patriots fans expect, as in years past, and actually pick impact players in this year's draft? This would go totally against what we are expecting, unlike previous drafts where we anticipated adding impact players and then watch them go by as Bill traded down, right? Hernandez, Gronkowski, not impact players, but I get your point. I just don't think we can paint with that broader brush, but I get his point.
Yeah, but his point is, imagine if he traded up to get Trent Richardson.
Right.
Way up for an impact, right. Exciting, flashy. He probably won't, but because that's not what he does. Did you see my blog entry poo-pooing all that? You know how you tried to paint it like, see, he actually trades up more than he trades down. No, he doesn't.
Okay.
Well, Fred didn't try to paint it like that.
A little bit the other day.
He scoffed at it.
Did he?
Yeah.
I thought he tried to paint it that way.
Paint what?
No,
forget it.
Because it was in the release.
I was using your broad brush.
It was in the release that they had done X amount 15, up and X amount down.
Something.
And Fred said, what that doesn't tell you is the trades up are much further along in the draft. They don't trade up that often from, you know, 27 to 15.
And right. 5 years in a row, whatever, they've traded down or out of the first round.
People are talking about the first round.
Right.
And that's all they care about.
Of late, that
they don't
is
care
always
what they
down
do with
or out.
The Eagles in the sixth round. They're talking about the first round when they say they're frustrated.
But I would also even argue that the last time he traded up was eight drafts ago. So when you take the last five, I think it is, he's traded
right.
down or out.
That's what people are talking
that's
about.
That's what he does.
Right.
It's fair to say. The trend is that's what he does.
Right. So the press release disproved nothing.
Right.
Right. TG and NJ says, Fred, the reason this Williams audio came out today is to take the sports fans' attention away from the start of the baseball season. I think the NFL loves to tweak Major League Baseball by stealing the headlines.
Wait, but you people think the NFL orchestrated this, the timing of this?
I think it's more because this is when the ruling is coming out.
But do you think the
I
NFL
think it has to
had
do with
any
the
say?
Ruling? The baseball, first of all, baseball started yesterday. So if they were going to do it because of that, they would have done it yesterday.
Sort of disproving that you need to take away the spotlight because
well, no.
you didn't know
Did
what baseball
really
started.
Open up? I thought today yes. was the big opening day.
For the Red Sox.
Oh, most of the league doesn't open today?
Well, yeah. They
no,
didn't.
Actually, there's like a handful of games today. There was only one game yesterday,
right.
but that was the opening of the season
except for the
in
Japan.
The States, except for
they
the two that
three
were last
games.
Week.
Right.
I mean, it's a comedy of errors. The sports just sabotages itself.
Yeah. So, he also says, like it or not, the NFL is changing, and I fear for the long-term future of the sport. One day the game will be played by robots, and all the money will be made by betting. Why does Michael Silver always seem to get these hot-button controversial scoops? Seems he's handed the goods from the league. I think he should be investigated. Well, I don't know.
That guy's all for an Oakland.
Why, what else did he – oh, he got the Oakland thing?
I don't know. He's always in the mix.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all these guys.
I think that's an accurate portrayal of him. He's a controversial guy.
He's that pot smoking. What did the guy call him? Pot smoking, but
smoking buddy.
You're smoking buddy.
Well, you're smoking buddy.
Let's see. Brian says.
So he didn't get laid off. I saw Yahoo laid off like 2,000
people. Yeah,
wasn't
really?
Him.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
Like go out of business trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, they
you lay off that. Amount,
they had a couple chances to be bought or taken over, I guess, and they should have done it. But, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if Michael Silver knows that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he needed a splash. Hey, guys, I'm still here. Anybody hiring?
Right. Where was he before, too? He was with Sports Illustrated, right? And then he went over to Yahoo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he was with one other organization
yeah.
as well.
Let's see. Brian writes in. He's in California. He said, Fred is crazy, but he's not a pussy. You are truly a fascinating person. Odd, but fascinating. I need more information on Project Alpaca. Do you have any other pets or animals? If not, you may want to work your way up to large mammals. My wife has collected a mini circus, horses, a pony, rabbits, chickens, dogs, cats, two saltwater fish tanks, two freshwater fish tanks, and the topper is a canary. Oh, yeah, and we are getting a couple goats. Every time we want to go somewhere, we have to figure out a solution for taking care of this ridiculous menagerie. It's a huge pain in the ass. My point is that a bunch of alpacas sounds like a lot of daily maintenance, and if you aren't used to that, you may be in for a disappointment.
My point is both you guys are whipped. Why, do whatever your wives say.
Why not start small? Try borrowing a couple of gerbils from Eric's freezer first. Oh, see now.
And he doesn't read the stuff that's offensive to Eric.
Now that I am all in on drafting Baron, I know that there is no chance we take him. I think we get something sexy like Cons. And trade the 31 for good value. That's going to suck.
How many people are you all in on, Paul? If they're available, you would take them.
Not that many. I'm not. I don't think this is a great individual talent. I think there's some good players to be had, but
it's not a great draft.
I'm just talking about Baron at 27. Baron, I would take, but I don't think he'll be available at 27.
I don't either, but who knows?
You know, certainly the you know my edge guys I like, but Ingram. You know, our writer's mock draft, Ingram went in the top 10.
That's a overdraft.
That's higher than I would take him, and I love the guy.
Did you want some of these Buffalo tenders?
No, thank you.
No?
Eat them. Don't throw them out, though.
Why?
Because later in the show, I might want them.
you can't have them, but don't throw them out. No, there's not. I can't really even think of a guy that I'd be all in on.
Like, I'm all in on Baron. I would take Merciless.
Baron. I love Merciless.
All
in. You know what I hope happens? I hope he doesn't trade up. I hope he doesn't trade back. I hope he doesn't stay put. I hope he waits to see what happens with Unfold and then use those first pick with a big blockbuster trade.
What?
You know?
No, I don't. I feel like Adam Schefter. I didn't follow.
I hope he uses the picks for trades for veterans. For actual players. Yeah.
No,
like who?
I don't know. But, you know, when you're talking first round,
I thought
picks,
it was another one of those run the draw out of the empty backfield. I hope he doesn't trade up. I hope he doesn't trade down.
I hope
he doesn't stay put.
Would Minnesota give us Jared Allen for both first round picks?
Yeah.
Would you do it?
No.
No.
Really?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't do it if you're the Patriots?
I would do it for one.
Well, one of them I would.
And maybe more.
A 27 and a 31? You're going to get a guy that you know that can come in and do what you need him to do.
Do you guys know something that I don't know about Jared Allen? I know the thing last year that people were, you know, national guys were writing about the possibility around the trading deadline of him being available. Is he available now?
Well, there's been talk about Minnesota just, you know, kind of blowing it up and that he's not. He's on the downside.
Because all
a
of
commodity.
A sudden, it's like every other tweet I get now is, how can we get Jared Allen for a first-round pick or whatever?
I think it's building off the old thing. But I also think it's. They need to – he's not going to be around, theoretically, when they get good. They're not close enough, whatever. And that if you could get somebody like Fred, two first-round picks, you're also picking third overall. I mean, if you take Khalil and two starters on defense, that's worth giving up Jared Allen maybe for a team that's looking to build long-term. So I
was just wondering if he was truly available.
I think anybody's available. If Parcells wants to trade him when he gets there.
That's one
they're
that
both chewing, so I'll keep talking.
That's one that you deserve to be critical of your boy Parcells on, Fred.
What's that?
Evidently, that story is very old.
Yeah, but did he?
And he throws it out there now as if...
Oh, he threw it out there?
Oh, there's no question in my mind that he leaked that out there now to get leverage so he can get more money. No doubt in my mind.
You guys are so cynical.
Let me tell you something. He's a master of that stuff. Parcells?
You can see the Bobby V influence already. They just turned a double play.
Taught his son-in-law, huh?
So
well, yeah, I think that's there's some truth to that. But I think this
Fred, I turned down an offer from the Globe for $150,000.
You're stupid.
As Fred gasses up his car to drive you there,
well, he's got to pour a quart of oil in too, so it doesn't break down.
I always said, if you guys can use this to get a better job, you should.
Believe me, Fred. I was trying. I've given up now. It's not going to happen.
Why?
I'm too old.
Fat. Is that not relevant? That's not really relevant with sports, right?
Certainly not, because I'm not even fat considering the other guys.
And you have the same hair as that guy that does baseball for the Globe. That's always on Comcast.
Nick Cafardo?
No.
Peter Abraham?
Please don't tell me that you think I'm the same size as
that guy. No. Said same hair. You get the same, like, thinning, partially shaved hair.
Well, who cares?
I'm just pointing it out.
That guy is like three of me.
That's a big you. He doesn't weigh 650 pounds or whatever.
He's a lot bigger than Paul.
Thanks.
And I think he has less hair.
I don't think he has less hair.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Scott from Leeds, England says, just a quick note. He wants to know what we think about the Greg Williams thing. Do you think there's a chance other defensive coordinators or head coaches speak like that.
Yes.
Talking about injuring the ACL of a player and targeting a running back or quarterback's head, that's way beyond the limits of acceptability. And P.S., there are too many generic Scots who've cropped up lately. So,
very territorial on their
names.
So
you got to differentiate yourself.
The handles.
We've talked about that. Byron says, do you guys discredit the claims that Greg Williams also said to hit Alex Smith in the chin while doing the cash finger symbol and then saying, I got the first one? That seemed the most egregious. Also, what happened with Sapp outing Shockey? I can't stand listening to Sapp and hope he gets fired. All he ever does is say some childish rhyme and that laugh at his own cliches.
Is he talking about me or Sapp?
Sapp. And I hope Mallett takes over for Brady in a few years.
You had the something about Sapp changed his handle?
Yeah, the last tweets I saw from him, I believe, were from him, H-I-M. It wasn't QB Killer anymore.
Right.
Or something.
Well, I think that Shockey,
got to him.
Shockey is not letting this die, right?
Nor should he.
Yeah, he's looking for an apology. Is there a lawsuit
There could be. I've heard people speculate. I don't know that Shockey has actually pursued anything.
Right.
Must be awkward when they're together working out, though, at Miami. Duh, you!
Let's see. Paul says, what bothers me most about the bounty issue is I can't imagine being the player going in to collect his bounty after putting a player out for the season.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of players would feel good about that. I think very few would feel good about that. There might be a few psychos, but I think more often than not, they would feel bad. Because I don't think that's what they're trying. I've said this a million times. I think they're trying to knock him out of the game. Not next week, not next month, not next season. The game.
Right.
This game. We want us to win and them to lose, and knocking them out is a way to get to that.
Alex says, Andy, Paul, Fred, so much for hindsight. From December 2010, Don Banks, SI, revised 2010 draft redo. New York Giants
too.
Original pick, Jason Pierre-Paul, defensive in South Florida. Redo, according to Don Banks. They should have picked Devin McCourty. The Giants would be ecstatic to have a crack at McCourty, the local kid from Rutgers, who's turned into an instant playmaker in New England's secondary. McCourty leads both the Patriots and all rookies with 6 interceptions, and he's got great coverage skills as his 20 pass defense exhibit. Pierre-Paul has started showing up late in terms of pass rush, but McCourty is a top 10 talent in this redraft.
Oops. He better redraft the redraft.
It just shows you that you just don't know. You just don't know.
That's why you got to wait 3 years before you assess drafts. Right, Paul?
Only if they're bad picks. You have to wait 3.
But what if they're good and then bad?
Do you immediately declare them good?
Like, and then bad.
Like Andy did with Sam Bradford.
I mean, I was right.
He's not special.
He's not. Then why didn't they trade him and take the guy who's special?
They should have.
Why didn't they?
I don't know.
They're just stupid.
Yes.
Okay.
Tom writes in, I love the show, especially during the pre-draft process, believe it or not, but it was the insights of Mr. Draft himself that first brought me to the show.
I believe it.
Eric?
That's Mrs. Draft.
My question is...
Not Grandpa Draft and not Knows Nothing Draft.
YouTube Draft.
I'm very selective.
Change his position draft.
My question
Big
is,
thigh draft.
When looking at a draft prospect's deficiencies, what is coachable and what isn't? For example, while you can't coach speed or hands, can you coach route running ability? Can you take a raw athlete and teach them hip fluidity or the ability to move in space? I only ask because a common knock on wideouts and defensive end outside linebacker prospects tied to the Pats is that they have all the natural tools but are lacking in these areas. Thanks for making life a little easier during the bleak, dark period known as the off season. I look forward to hearing you discuss all things football and alpaca.
Is the plural of alpaca alpaca? Or is it alpacas?
I think it's alpacas. Alpaci?
You can coach route running, theoretically. I mean, there's going to be guys who are better at it naturally than not, and some of their physical skills will be a part of that. But when you talk about hip fluidity, that quickness... Those are kind of, you have it or you don't, especially by the time you reach the NFL. You've been coached in college. You know, you're at least 8 years of pretty good coaching in high school and college. Quickness, but playing in space, some of that is just experience being coached on keys and things of that nature. So did I answer the question?
I guess so.
I wanted to say, last week we got an email from a young lady from Sweden, I believe, and she didn't send a photo.
Well, she did send a photo.
Later on she did, and while it's a little too tight on the face and there's a little too much clothes in the picture.
Impressive.
She's pretty hot.
Yeah, too
impressive.
Way too many clothes.
We need to see your assets.
It is Sweden, so I know it's cold there, but, you know.
You have heat in your house.
Yeah, shoot it indoors.
Oh, I'll shoot it indoors.
And
wow.
Speaking of that.
Just so you know, we had this conversation when the lovely lady sent in the photo. I said, she needs to lose some of the clothes, I said to Andy. And he said, well, yeah, you can't write that back to her. He goes, but I'll say it on the radio. And then he leaves you that line.
Well,
after that,
up.
About indoors.
He put it on a tee.
Speaking of Simon from the Ye Old Cock Inn writes, hello, chaps, as Eric is on holiday, I thought I'd send you a missive from across the pond. I have to keep you guys talking about the Wembley game because Britain, especially London, is entirely focused on the Olympics at the moment. Not that the UK media pays any attention to the NFL anyway. The most we can hope for is a page in the sports section the Saturday before the game. Now that the decision has been made and you're only coming on the Thursday, I assume you'll be confined to London and I can stop trying to find Miller Lite. That's correct.
Yes.
I'm wondering if the sports cafe party is likely to happen again because I'll need to get a hotel within staggering distance of Leicester Square, preferably one with an unintentionally rude name. So I think that's where it's going to be. Nothing is set in stone yet, but I think you'd be safe to
you organizing that
be
again?
Staying in that area.
It's the Curse Show.
He sends a photo, I guess. It's a tribute to the downfall of the Jets, a picture of myself and one of my Wembley-bound friends T-bowing at the highest point in the British Isles, the summit of Ben Nevis. And I probably pronounced that wrong, and if Eric was
Eric's
here.
Not here, what I mean.
Looking forward to the draft so much that I'm subscribing to the international version of the paper so I can read up on all the prospects that we aren't going to pick.
That's not true. We're picking somebody. Although, have you noticed lately the trend? It's all names like these late riser names. Derek Wolfe was Kuypers. He's a defensive lineman out of Cincinnati who like isn't in Mayock's top 10 at either end or tackle. You know, there are these names starting to create. And I know fans are going to be bored. You know, Kendall Reyes, you know, some defensive. Oh, great. We got a defensive lineman. But you might want to prepare yourself because it's very little chance both those picks will be exciting. Like, you know, I keep saying Mark Barron and Stephen Hill. That would be exciting. Starting safety and a deep threat, very little chance you get both of those. More likely, at least one of them's a lineman somewhere that you don't really care for.
Okay.
I'll keep talking since you're chewing. And Paul's drinking.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't have anything to add to that.
Well, I didn't either, but...
Sorry.
Vladimir writes in. He says, I love your show.
Vlad to have you.
It's always been fun to hear your passionate discussions, jokes, and good info. You know, you should know that the New England Patriots is the most popular American football team here in the Czech Republic. PFW does a great job to help fans survive never-ending 7 months between the seasons. I have a question for you. Have you seen Rex Ryan in Adam Sandler's film where he plays a Patriots fan? That's really something.
Is it out on video?
I haven't seen it.
I remember when it came out.
Yeah.
What's the name of the movie?
I forget.
It didn't. Must not have done
well. Can you
look
that up?
Must not have done very well, huh?
Did you see he got the worst movie ever awards or whatever, the Razzies?
Oh, really? Sandler?
For that girl where
Jack
he played himself. Yeah, it swept them all.
Oh, really? But he was going around the Super Bowl promoting that movie, right?
I heard Dennis and Callahan talking about that Razzies thing, and I agree with Jerry's take. Did you hear that? Do you know what that is, Fred? They picked like the worst movie?
Yeah.
Well, they picked this Adam Sandler movie, and Jerry's take on it was, that's not fair. I mean, Adam Sandler didn't make that under some pretense that he was, you know, making the next Godfather. I mean, it was what it was. It was a silly, campy, kind of goofy movie.
Yeah.
His thing was Adjustment Bureau, which I didn't really see. I saw parts of it.
I thought that was a good movie.
He thought it was the
worst movie he's ever seen. I've heard him
Jerry?
Say that.
He said it many times. He's saying this is a movie that was supposed to be good, that they thought was real cerebral and all this, and it sucked. And he just went on, and he's like, that's a movie that should get a Razzie.
But if the Sandler movie is not funny at all, if it's just awkward, then it deserves a Razzie.
And I didn't see it, because I saw commercials.
You didn't make it to be crappy.
I saw commercials about it, and
it looks bad.
It looks bad. Yeah. I had no interest in seeing it. And I'm not as much infatuated with the Sandler movies as you are anyway.
Well, he's, I mean...
He makes a lot of bad movies.
Well, he peaked about 20 years ago. Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, he peaked.
The Grown
Ups boy's pretty good,
too. The Grown Ups movie is not bad. I don't know if
you
saw
that. I think I've seen parts of that.
Yeah, I was never a big Adam Sandler fan.
How?
It's called That's My Boy, and it's coming out in June.
Oh, it's not even out yet.
That's what I thought.
Why have we been talking about this for years now? It feels like forever we've
been talking. How long it takes for these movies to get made.
You know what looks terrible, speaking of Dennis and Callahan? The Three Stooges.
Yeah.
Looks awful.
Well, you know what's going to be...
Just looks unwatchable.
You know what's going to be really bad about that? First of all, the Stooges are a definite acquired taste.
Which one that I never acquired.
Really? You didn't like... I figured that was right up your alley.
I was not a Stooges fan.
You don't like anything funny.
I like the Stooges, but didn't love them. But there are people that are just completely...
Them.
Steve Buckley is a guy.
I can see that. Well, it's one of those things.
Steve Buckley loves the
You
Stooges.
Feel like you're supposed to like it because it's, like, iconic. It's historic. You know everybody else, so... But I don't think it's great.
But you're going to be inundated now when that comes out because, God forbid, they say anything bad about a Farrelly Brothers movie that they're in.
It looks terrible based on the commercials and trailers and stuff. Looks awful.
I think the Farrelly Brothers are a lot like Sandler. They have a lot of misses.
Well, when you do that kind of movie, I think you can miss a lot.
It's tough. You have to have a really solid concept to go through 2 hours.
Right.
If the concept itself, then it's just a Saturday Night Live sketch.
Right.
But I thought
it's like backup quarterbacks who are young. They all have potential, but only a few of them are going to hit.
That movie they did with Everybody Loves the Mary
There's something about Mary.
Yeah. Funniest movie I've ever
that
seen in
movie
the theater.
Was freaking
saw
hysterical.
That in the theater and
all
was,
the way through.
Yes, funniest movie I've ever
all
seen.
All the way through.
Contagious laughter and like, yeah, tremendous.
Irreverent.
Yep.
You know,
tremendous. I don't know what that means, but yes.
it was really well. They made fun of a lot of things you're not supposed to make fun of.
Right.
I liked Something About Mary a lot. That was a good movie.
But that's the problem. That again gives you the license to make any other stupid movie you want, and they're always stupid.
Right.
Like Austin Powers, he's made some terrible movies because once you're big, well, it's a good idea. He was funny, and people watch that one. I'll let him make this stupid carpet movie.
Well,
that movie with him.
But that's how Hollywood.
He's like a genie riding a carpet.
Right. Well, that's how Hollywood works.
Right.
Is if you know you can make a certain amount of money, you got to keep the industry working. It's not just keeping him working. It's all the people behind the cameras.
Right.
So you'll come out with a bunch of schlock every year as long as you know you can reach a certain threshold in ticket sales. You keep the industry moving. You keep it pumping out.
That's vintage PFW in progress right there.
Pretending we know anything
about
the
movie. Just a five-minute respite from serious stuff.
Well, you put out a few DVDs.
No, but
Three Games to Glory.
I went to college, we did have script writers, and that's where I learned all this stuff.
Then they rolled out the wrestling mat in the classroom and wrestled.
Well, it was a small school. One of my teachers literally was Dennis Leary. He taught one of my classes.
Was he good? Did he swear a lot?
No, he was a terrible teacher.
really?
Yeah, he was actually trying to quit smoking at the time, and he was like, I don't know what he was doing but he was on something, and he'd be like, he'd get on top of the desk and perch there like a bird.
I had a teacher in high school that did that.
Yeah, and like be on the desk, teaching the class crouched.
But I also had a professor in college that quit smoking during the semester, and it hit him so hard he had to take a leave. A medical leave.
Is that right?
Like he had like the withdrawal. It was unbelievable. He was a former.
And he just smoked.
He was a network news guy. And he was like in the process of retiring. He probably got pushed out a little bit before he wanted to.
Right.
And then he quit smoking. He was a chain smoker too. Like he used to run out in the middle of class and like get a quick one out in front of the building.
A smoking Santa.
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, like halfway through the semester, he was gone for like a month.
Wow.
Writing, reporting, broadcast news.
It'd be like when he leaves this show if we take away the soda.
Right.
He'll be shaking, just yelling things incoherently.
I can quit anytime I want.
No, you can't. That's what everyone says.
You know what I did last night by accident when I was waiting for my tire?
A push-up?
That was very, very good. Unexpected, too.
Excellent.
Quick aside.
I got a regular Coke instead of a Diet Coke.
Ew.
I hit the wrong button on the machine.
Did you drink it?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But it didn't taste good, right?
No.
No, they're awful. If you don't like that, it tastes awful.
Oh, I love regular Coke, but it's terrible.
It's like straight.
I can only imagine what you'd weigh if you drank that all
the time. Oh, my God. And I used to. When I was like in my early 20s.
I'd put them down. I drank regular Pepsi until I met Beth.
Although now
all she ever had was diet, so I started drinking diet.
It's actually healthier for you, right? Because all the chemical, the fake sugar that's in diet soda
is worse
for you.
Well, did you see 60 Minutes this week?
No.
There's now all these studies that even regular sugar, including corn syrup, you know.
Oh, yeah, is like toxic.
It's toxic.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Yeah, well.
I love the way you just picked
and choose. Because your Pepsi has a new one. Pepsi Next, where it's 60% of the sugar, or, you know, they're doing all these things. Zero, Next, 10 calories. It's another one of those. But Saturday, I've been told, according to Twitter, is the anniversary of the push-up contest.
Oh, wow.
People want to know if we're going to have a
round. Should we break that out? But
tries are sore from yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Sorry I don't work out with a computer chip or whatever the hell you work out with.
Hey, at least I'm doing something.
When was the last time you went?
I think my wife's going to run a 5K.
I mean,
today's Thursday.
No, I went Tuesday.
So it's been a week.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
I went Sunday and I went Tuesday.
You going to run with her?
I'll be there for moral support.
Who's she running with?
It's by herself. Benefit for that firefighter that died from Peabody we honored.
You should get like those three-wheel strollers, and you can be in front. She can push you.
And you can pretend you have like a deformity.
I wasn't going to go there, but you know,
it won't be tough to pretend.
Is this like something about Mary where it's okay to make fun of things?
Yeah,
really
I wasn't
going to
go there, but
you know, those
ringer,
those goofy bastards.
Yeah, that was. Remember, they made a movie about that, the Special Olympics ringer.
Oh yeah,
It was Johnny Knoxville, right?
Knoxville. Yeah, was that a Farrelly Brothers?
I believe
too?
So.
Yeah. Yeah. That was actually kind of funny.
And they made it with the approval of
Special Olympics. Well, all the other guys, I think, like all the other actors were
But they also got him to sign off and basically say it's not offensive to us.
Yeah.
Right.
Always a slippery slope, though, because there's someone out there that's going to be offended.
I was offended.
Kent writes
I don't think so.
Love the show, blah, 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 and I had a chance to visit Boston a few months back and stop by Patriot Place in the Hall. Great stuff.
I saw you.
For all Patriots fans.
I mean, in all seriousness, there was a chance.
Presented by Raytheon.
A thought for the draft. What if the Patriots trade up for Trent Richardson? They signed a few fullbacks and loaded up wide receiver. Can you imagine an offense that goes two tight ends or a three or four wide spread or switches to a power running game whenever they want to? That would be a juggernaut I'd want to see. Who cares about defense if the offense scores 70 points a game? Just kidding. We got to improve the D. And as a side note on the D, is it possible that Devin and Jason McCourty played a switcheroo last year? We know Devin slipped or regressed. Didn't Jason have an up year in Tennessee?
That's the common hope. The only real explanation.
That would be another one of those. You know how we always say, like, a great story after the fact? You know, that'd be another one. Two identical twins that just said, you know what? We're just going to switch teams.
What's in it for Devin?
What's in it for either one of them?
Well, Jason gets to go to the better team and maybe go to a Super Bowl. Instead of having Jake Locker for his quarterback, he's got Tom Brady.
I suppose.
What's in it for Devin? He's got to go live in Tennessee on a crappier team, and his name gets pulled through the mud. So unless he gets paid,
I don't know.
I can't believe we're spending time discussing this.
That's why I kind of stopped because of it. I'm telling you, it's Bobby V, another double play, Andy. They never used to turn double plays under Tito.
I heard something I need
to
be on
the lookout
for. I
don't know, Bobby, what
we're
going to do.
He does non-traditional cutoffs.
Yeah.
He learned them in Japan. What are they?
We'll see.
I'm intrigued by this. Manny Ramirez would fit right in with his non-traditional cutoffs.
A 15-foot cutoff.
Yeah. In Japan, it works.
Literally have a relay team of like four guys.
Bobby, it's snowing out. What are we going to do?
I think
we should shovel. Oh, that's a great idea, Bobby.
No, he would have been up and he'd have already shoveled for everybody else.
Have you seen that commercial for
Jordan's?
The Hopper?
Oh, I hate it.
Oh, I love it. I think it's funny.
I don't get it.
The Hopper.
What does it have to do with
Boston? The Hopper!
That's the part that I don't
what
understand.
What does it have to do with
Boston.
Oh, I think they're just playing on the word.
Oh, yeah.
The Hopper.
The Hopper.
Let's call it the Hopper.
The Hopper.
Instead of ER, it's AH.
Yeah, and they're just
Thank you, Kevin.
I got the.
I'm
got the.
And isn't the Hopper also a toilet?
I'm talking about the product. What does the product have to do with Boston? Was my question.
No, it's just
not whether or not they were, playing
the same
off the Boston accent
with a Southern accent down. You know, I don't know.
How do you say it with a Southern accent?
I don't know.
You hate the commercial when the guy goes, "Shut up."
I like it. I think it's funny.
I think it's terrible.
I think it's one of those that you see once and it's okay.
Now what I do like, if we're on commercials, have you seen the M&M one where the female M&M is just chocolate and they think she's and the red one goes, "Oh, I didn't know it was that kind of potty," and he peels off his red and he's dancing around naked. That's a good commercial right there.
You've never seen that?
It's even candy he gets Super Bowl excited ad. About. You know,
it's just, funny.
Just the word naked with candy he gets excited.
No, it's. I hate you.
Andy,
all.
I'll back you up.
Yeah, but that's an old. That's been around for about a year now, that commercial.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
He said it was a Super Bowl commercial.
Pretty sure it was a Super Bowl commercial.
Super Bowl.
I've seen it many times.
I don't know. I was at the Super
John
Bowl.
John Wrightson.
Fred has seen it many times.
John Wrightson.
Well, it's, we're 2 months or a month
we need impact players on defense. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see that many full package players along the front seven. Andy, full package, nothing?
That's okay. Your area. You I wanted him to every trade day up. In your office.
I wanted him to trade up the last two or three drafts. This draft, I wouldn't be upset if we traded down and out. Outside of Trent Richardson, I don't see any major changes that are worth going up and grabbing.
I agree.
I like Stephen Hill, but I think our system is too complicated to learn for him to be worth his value as a first-rounder. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You may not be wrong, but I don't believe you'd have to trade up to get him. He's either going to go right in that ballpark or maybe even below, depending on how they shake down. But I agree with you. There's not a lot of guys I'd be willing to trade up for. Richardson and Khalil might be the only two, and you already drafted your left tackle of the future, theoretically, even though Khalil is probably better. And, right, score 70 points on offense, your defense still sucks, and you lose in the Super Bowl.
And I think that wide receiver in particular is not a spot I would move up for, because I think there's so many good ones. Virtually wherever you decide to take one, you can get a good player. I mean, Stephen Hill, I sort of agree with the analysis of, you know, he might not be a great fit because it's going to take him a little bit. But, I mean, if you could get him with your second round pick, or even a third round pick, that's great value.
I think he's in some ways the perfect fit because I don't think
you're asking him to do a lot.
Right, you're asking him to come in 5 plays a game and run down the field 10 plays a game. You brought in Brandon Lloyd to take that takes the pressure off Hill. Without Lloyd, then I think people would say he's the deep threat. He has to produce. He has blah blah. I think the pressure's been taken off him.
Have you found it funny how many analysts have talked about Brandon Lloyd's ability to, adjust in the air, making difficult catches in the air? I mean, that seems to be the
well. I know Tom Curran is all in.
The number one thing they talk about with Brandon Lloyd is he has the ability to, contort his body and make difficult
Tom
catches.
Tom Curran makes Randy Moss never ever fought for a ball, never ever jumped. And Brandon Lloyd is the greatest receiver that's ever done that to walk the planet.
You know, all things being equal, wouldn't you just rather have a guy that gets open and just catches the ball conventionally?
I'm a little curious as to people's alliances with Brandon Lloyd and why they're talking him up. And I don't know if it's just because he talks to people and they've developed relationships with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brandon Lloyd's going to be a good player. I think, it made a lot of sense
to
get him.
But I just think it's the second coming of Moss.
Yeah, some of the analysis I've seen has just been strange. And I'm not saying it's inaccurate.
I am.
It's just strange to me.
The guy had one good
year. Like, why would you talk about that as the number one thing, number one physical attribute is that he goes up and contorts his body and makes difficult catches on deep balls.
No, but even beyond that, everybody tries to make him out to be good. He's been okay. He's been a disappointment more often than he's been good.
Well, I mean, the fact that he's been on 6 teams in 9 years.
But that
much.
Even could be personnel-wise. I mean, personality-wise. He hasn't really produced to the level of a great receiver consistently. Certainly not consistently.
Well, if he was that good, personality aside, teams would have given him longer chances.
Maybe. But I'm even giving him the benefit. I'm going on numbers. You haven't really been that great.
Sam in Chicago says, "Hey, Fred and company, I can't listen to the show live, so I'm dropping this in with no idea what you guys are sawing in half today, but I wanted to weigh in on Fred's interest with alpacas. My cousin's in Norway, Maine, and used to have a llama farm, basically the same thing as alpaca, like a wolf to a coyote. Llamas and alpacas were a big fad in the early 90s for small farms and gentlemen farmers who wanted a novelty item to add to their stock. Alpacas provide nice wool for knitting and look cute with their big ears. One thing no one realized was how mean, resentful, and generally neurotic alpacas are as an animal. Alpacas spit, kick, and like their llama cousins were generally used to protect flocks of sheep since they have in general no fear of anyone or anything. The market for alpacas and llamas steeply declined as owners realized the little monsters hidden inside a cute and fuzzy shell called an alpaca. Don't get an alpaca unless you have some problems with the neighborhood kids wandering through your property. You're better off building a heated barn and raising wallabies if a novelty pet is your latest fad. Look forward to the podcast, and thanks for the help of the draft coverage." He's wrong about the alpacas. They're not like llamas. Llamas are really surly animals. Alpacas are really – some of them can spit, but –
when they're males and you do that, you just
cut their nuts off.
Exactly.
That's fair. He spit at me. I'm cutting his nuts off.
They're not like that at all.
Just Roger Goodell?
You just try it.
Jesus.
No, the only way you'd get that happen is if you said, no, I didn't spit at you. Right. And then they found out that you did.
No, I mean, you know, maybe I walked in a herd of them and they were fine.
Maybe none of them had nuts.
No, these were.
Did you check?
These were there for breeding. So.
Just give them the old Croc Dundee.
Yeah. No,
Brittany Griner needs the Croc Dundee.
Alpacas
test.
Do not have the personalities of
the
llamas.
Baylor chick there.
Oh.
And I use chick loosely.
Easy, Imus.
She needs the Croc Dundee test.
I guess.
Wait a minute. So literally, you're going to get these, and the first time they spit, off with their testicles.
Not the first time, but if they
that's your one strike. I won't make the same mistake twice.
Oh, once three they strike, do, I'm giving the I got my eyes on you signal to the alpaca if they start spitting.
That's good thing Roberto Alomar didn't live with you.
You know.
He was one argument away.
Right.
Snip.
Is that what they told you?
What?
If he spits at you, cut his nuts off?
No, they said, you know, they don't normally do that. But when they do, and if they start getting, you know, really aggressive, that's what you can do.
This really bothers me.
Why?
I don't know. It doesn't seem right.
You know, what else are you going to do?
Not get alpacas or not cut their nuts off.
I guess. But, you know, here they are. I've got them, so... I want to, you know.
God complex, I am God.
I want to make sure that everything.
Things that bother you to me.
Just flippantly cutting the nuts off of animals for no good reason.
Well, it isn't for a good reason.
Because he spit at you.
Not just me. It's the
kind
other.
Of a justice system.
It's the other alpacas. You don't want constant fighting.
Okay, so now they're being violent toward each other.
Right.
Are you sure?
If that's. They can be at times. They play the whole dominant thing, you know. They do this thing with their head. They try to, like. One up each other, like putting.
Yeah, but is it hurting each other? Or
no,
is it just
it isn't.
A ritual.
No, it's like to show dominance.
Okay, I got no problem
but
with that.
It can,
not deserving of nutlessness.
No, and that's not gonna. No, that isn't. But then it can.
Did you say nutlessness?
Yes. It can escalate, and you don't want that to happen. You
okay, if you have all out brawls in your alpaca pen, I'm okay with you having to declare order.
Right,
but sounds like you're a little too trigger happy to cut their nuts off.
No, you just don't worry about it. All right. You go back to your farm with the 50 acres because, you know, I can only get alpacas. You're going to get Indian elephants or something. I don't know what you're going to do with your property, but, you know, do what you want. I'll do
what I want.
I don't
have somebody clearing a road for me on my property.
No, because you can do it yourself because you have the heavy equipment to do it.
No, my neighbor does.
Yeah, okay. So, you know.
Well, you told him to go screw himself because he didn't have a trailer to bring it to your house.
I don't understand why I can't use his damn auger.
He doesn't have a trailer.
Well, get one. I thought you said it was attached to the back of his pickup.
No, his tractor. He has a John Deere tractor, with a front-end loader and a thing on the back. I don't know what you call it, but you attach all the... He's got a big field mower, a log splitter.
Tell him to bring it over. I'll put him to work.
He doesn't have a trailer.
If I rented one, would he bring it?
Probably not. I don't think he cares for your tone.
How does he know about my tone? I've told him.
Right. Because that might be worth it for me to...
I told him you were absolutely filthy rich, so to stick it to you on the price.
Well, then you're wrong there. Because that's where we would
I told
part
you,
ways.
He's already budgeted like $15,000 for this
We've
project.
We've already part ways. Let's see. Brent says, TMZ, Tebow kissing Rex's ass with a foot picture. I guess Tim Tebow got a pedicure or something like that. TMZ obtained a picture of Tebow in the chair at MB Nails in West Hollywood on Tuesday, moments before technicians went to town on his fingers and toesies. Sources at the salon tell us Tebow was very friendly during his $23 manicure-pedicure treatment and dropped a huge tip at the end. Manicured feet are important to pro athletes, especially when they're playing for Rex Ryan. I hadn't heard that yet.
Have you ever had a manicure or a pedicure?
I have had either. No. Have you?
No.
No.
I couldn't. I have very sensitive feet. I don't like people touching them. Very ticklish. Don't anything about it.
I can just see he's like, tickle me, Elmo.
I am. Like, even if like, I'm sitting on the couch and a kid walks by and just absolutely barely touches it, it freaks me out. And I think feet are hideous.
That's because you're homophobic. It's not because you're ultra sensitive. That's what this is all about.
Paul, you want to explain this to me? How does sensitive feet be homophobic?
It's just the man. It's just the idea of people touching you.
I hate feet. I think feet are very unattractive. I don't get the whole foot fetish thing. I think feet are disgusting. They're dirty.
They can be.
Smelly.
They can be.
No, everybody's are. You just cover them up by getting a pedicure, and that's short-lived.
My feet aren't smelly.
My yes, feet aren't
are.
Smelly.
Yes,
either.
They are.
No, TJ's yes, are smelly.
Are. My feet aren't.
Yes, they are.
No.
You? How do you know? There's no way you're getting that foot to your nose. You fat bastard.
You see what he does? He climbs fences.
Oh, I know.
He takes trains.
I know.
He transfers in Midtown.
Yeah.
He goes to such lengths.
You can't
tell
me you can't
take a shot at
he'll
you.
Get there.
You can't tell me you can get your foot to your nose.
You don't think I could smell my feet?
There are other people
Let's
in my
right
family.
Now.
If I had smelly feet, someone in my family would let me know. Believe me.
Let's watch Paul fall.
Paul, what do you do? Paul.
How hard is that?
Oh, my God.
I don't care. I just wanted to see you try.
Paul just put his foot up to his nose, and he really did do it.
He did.
But
I'm going to give him credit.
I'm more flexible
than I thought.
He's really flexible.
But, I mean, I'm in terrible shape, and I just don't understand how anybody could not do
it's
that.
It's like Cirque du Perillo over there.
I didn't put it behind my head.
Almost.
Can
no,
you
I
do
didn't.
It?
No.
I don't think so.
My legs are really...
Kevin,
I don't think I could either.
Yeah.
Tight hips.
Kevin, get a basketball game tonight. I'm officially questionable.
I have this thing between my legs called balls that prevent me from doing that.
No, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Just so you know, we've come full circle. Fred started the show by claiming he didn't have any balls.
Right.
And now he finishes it.
Now he's got big balls.
I'm a man. I can't put my foot up to my nose.
Oh, my God. Paul's been doing yoga. Who would have known?
I think you guys are grossly mischaracterizing that. I am not overly flexible.
I would guess the percentage of the population...
You don't think you could get your foot that close to your nose?
No.
I don't know. And I don't think...
I think you're making it sound like I put my foot behind my head.
No. I just thought your stomach would get in the way.
It's got nothing to do with
it.
Yeah,
I mean...
It's not bending over.
If you ask me to bend down and touch my toes, then that's
all
the
about
stomach
the hip,
is going to come into play there.
The hip flexibility, right?
I don't think I could do it on the left
He's
side
got
anymore.
Got a lot of hip fluidity.
My left hip has been hurting ever since I ruptured my Achilles.
It's because you walk differently now.
Yeah,
it,
but
it affects you.
Yeah, the doctor says it's nothing to worry about.
That image right there, though, going to get me through the rest of the day.
I'm just here to entertain.
And it's like we didn't have to coax
no,
him to do it.
Usually for
he
anything,
was,
you have to make him do
really
it.
He was really proud to show us that he could get his foot up there.
We have 8 bottles of Coke in there.
Not for long.
We had 12 when the
did
show
you hear
started.
That, did you hear that over the microphone, the opening of the bottle?
We had 12.
And just imagine if you liked Coke.
Oh, it's
you don't even like it.
If
you
we
drink
liked
a bottle of show,
if we liked
no
Coke,
way,
I
it's
would.
You.
If I liked Coke, I'm sorry, I would probably not have to take in my 6 packs, my 12 packs of Pepsi. I would just take these upstairs and use those.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what people don't understand. When he finishes the show, he'll still have a Pepsi at 3 upstairs.
Yeah, probably.
I think it could be
not to mention the 3 or 4 that I'll have tonight while watching.
It could be an oral thing, just an oral fix. He has to be. Bringing something up to his
That's part
mouth
of
all the time, and now we know that includes his feet.
Do you really think it was that strange?
Well, kind of.
It was strange.
What?
Because
that
of
I
your
did
personality.
It or that I, could you
part
not
of
get your foot that close to your
no,
nose?
No.
Try. Can you try?
I can't.
He couldn't get it up to his knee.
I can't. I have no flexibility in my
See,
hips.
See, that's because even though I am no longer in shape, I was an athlete at one
but
time.
But I never could do it. I never could.
You could when you're a baby. All babies do that.
Oh, maybe, yeah. But you know what? When I was a kid.
That's my lift leg.
Literally, when I was a kid, I probably couldn't do it then. Both my legs were in casts.
Yeah, that's right.
With a metal bar.
He was a stupid lefty who brought his leg way up and waited and tried to see if you were going to give yourself away.
It's the only way I could pick you off. I had no move.
Hated lefties. I'd go, screw it. I'm going.
Nano,
throw me out.
Nano writes
I'm going
in.
On first move no matter what.
Nano writes in. He says, Tony Pauline wrote on a website called Draft Insider. That Florio linked to that, while most have the New England Patriots selecting a pass-rushing linebacker in round one, we hear a smaller linebacker who can cover is just as great a need on their draft board. Could the team take a player such as Bobby Wagner at the
Gee,
end of round one?
I don't know,
one?
Bobby.
It's definitely not out of the question. I had never heard of him, so I checked out his plays versus Auburn, and he looked pretty darn good. Not great, but pretty good. Then again, 4 minutes of YouTube video is not really enough to make any determination.
It's enough for Fred to decide to change you to safety.
Yep. What do
Wipe
you,
out 8 years of playing football.
What do you guys think of Bobby Wagner?
Love
him. Also, if you are to believe Pauline, Mark Barron will be long gone by the time the Patriots pick unless we trade up to the low teens.
That's most likely. Mark Barron's a very good football player, and there's a lot of teams that could use a safety.
The reason that Andy and I sort of threw Barron out there as a possibility is because he has the health issue that we think possibly could maybe, I don't know, cause a team or two to pass on him.
Probably
because
won't.
They, you know, but
probably won't cause 15 to pass.
And it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Everybody, I think, looks at it as sort of self-contained injury. No long-term ramifications,
common.
And you just go on.
And especially in this draft where I'm not sure there's enough guys to leapfrog him, that people could say, right. Okay, he's better.
But we both watched Bobby Wagner tape yesterday and came away impressed.
Very much so. And I'm not sure I agree with the need that I would put that at the top of a cover linebacker, an undersized cover linebacker. I don't, now, if Bill thinks he can be a three-down player,
and he did show some ability to do that,
yes.
By the way.
And if they're sticking, I think he's a 4-3 player. I think he could be an outside linebacker in the 4-3, maybe opposite Mayo with spikes in the middle. You know, I think he could play, but is that the biggest need right now?
If you take a guy like Zach Thomas, do you think he could have played outside linebacker? Because he was
in a 4-3.
Or even in a 3-4.
Not
big enough.
Way too small.
And not a pass rusher, not some of the needs of that position.
Okay.
Now, you could make the argument he's a really good football player, and really good football players would find a way.
Right.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't be.
But he wouldn't be ideal for that.
Okay. You mentioned, Michelle from Sweden. She sent a picture. She also sent an email. She says, I hear all these players coming out left and right talking about Bountygate. Vilma is going off on Peter King on Twitter. Woodley is liking it to incentives and contracts. Drew Brees, I didn't know, please. I wish that every organization, not the Patriots either, because they're already done it or it's not necessary, told their players to shut the F up. It comes off as stupid lies or both. What do you guys think? And when things like this arise, it's easy being a Patriots fan. And P.S., I always listen to you while working out and hearing my ill-explained question last week. On the air, I almost fell off the treadmill.
So she sweats when she thinks about us.
Oh, boy. What do you think about players?
You are a creep. Extraordinary.
Send another photo with
us. I kind of understand where she's coming from and where the players feel the need to speak out about it.
Well, but don't you feel
and
like...
it's mostly the guys who are against it that feel...
Right, they're protecting the history, the culture.
But don't you feel like a guy like Drew Brees sort of has to speak as... the face of New Orleans as, in terms of players?
Yeah.
Not if he's going to lie.
No, I totally agree with her that, please, you know, don't pretend that we're idiots here. But don't you feel like he's kind of obligated to say something?
I think if until you do, you're going to keep being asked about it.
Right.
So you might as well say something.
And it doesn't go away.
Right. Right.
You know, now you can be like the Patriots and you're asked about it and you just sort of say, well, right now our focus is on, you know, April 16th and the start of OTAs. That's what Bill would say right now if it was going on. And he wouldn't vary from the script. He would just stick with it.
Yeah.
But I just think that if you're a guy like Brees, you kind of have to say something.
And I think part
of
it,
I think Brady would too. We would ask Brady the first chance we got, and he'd have to say something. Now, I don't think he would have to blatantly lie like Brees did.
Let's see.
Wouldn't have to.
Rich writes in, congratulations, Paul, for winning the picks contest this year. beating Fred is a significant achievement. Congratulations, Fred, for allowing Paul to win this year. Humility is your gift. Congratulations to Eric and Andy for finishing third and fourth. It's a little
puzzling. Who is this guy? I like it.
It's a little puzzling how Andy could be such a consistent jag at the picks each year. He says he's right about everything, especially anything subjective. One could argue that the only reason Andy finishes fourth is because there are only four competitors. That was only an analogy of how Andy sounds. I wish Andy would temper his cynical criticism of the defense and never criticize Bill Belichick again. He was giddy at the Super Bowl because you pundits and cynics like Keyshawn, Chris Carter, Andy, were nowhere to be found or heard. The media to Belichick became a circus show of freaks at times, with some media people suggesting they are smarter than him. Of course, the critics are not even in the NFL. Mr. Kraft continues to accept applications, but none seem to come in. Paul believes Belichick should get some help with his drafting skills. Since we didn't draft Clay Matthews, could one argue Gronk is the best thing to come out of the draft since Calvin Johnson? Did he need help with that?
Well, I know. He may have just read my blog when I picked him out long before anybody else had ever talked about him.
Anyone thinks...
See, that's one of those subjective things that Andy dominates.
And by the way, did you notice the postseason a few years ago when I went undefeated in the picks contest, blew these guys out of the water in the games that mattered?
Anyone thinks he needs help with anything needs help of their own.
I would like to thank the fans who write into the mailbag and pregame progress and PFW in progress because they are the blood of the radio show with the most intelligent questions, observations.
Except for this one.
And have provided Andy a Yale education of how football and the rest of the world works. PFW fans are truly awesome. Also, I would like to, is this guy accepting an award? Also, I would like to thank Fred for mentoring, managing, and setting a world record for editing this year, plus the many lessons taught in each show. Also, thanks Eric, Paul, and Andy for being funny and informative and not too sensitive. I do enjoy listening.
Eric's not too sensitive?
You're not. You've been attacking this guy the whole email.
That's what I do.
He's
I'm
made
funny.
Fun of me, too.
I will buy lunch if you get Will Fork in the Subway studio with you guys.
The Will gauntlet's Fork? Been thrown down.
How do these not get called fouls on Blake Griffin, by the way, on these dunks?
When he pushes him out of the way?
He punched him in the face.
I don't know. Maybe the officials are as wild as
I mean, don't get me wrong. I hate the Lakers, and I hate Gasol in particular. As Mike Adams says, he looks like a llama. Speaking of alpacas.
Or an alpaca? Does he spit? Does he have testicles?
All right. Well, that's going to
be another hour.
That's it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Want to thank Adam
Schefter
checking in. If you didn't hear that, download the podcast now, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.